I feel it a particular honor, my brothers and sisters, to introduce our speaker today. Rarely have we had in the church a man who has given as long a life of service to the ministry of our Savior as Brother Smith. Beginning as a missionary in the British Isles in 1899, his entire time, almost since that period, has been devoted to the church. He was made a member of the Quorum of the Twelve as early as 1910 and has been a member of the Board of Trustees of the Brigham Young University since 1912. I shall not take time to enumerate all of the other positions which he's held. I want to make merely 2 points. One, that as I have a particular affection for him because of the leadership that he has given to the executive committee of the Board of Trustees during the entire period of my administration. He has been loyal to the nth degree. There is never any divided loyalty on his part when it comes to this institution. And he has certainly supported the large program of development of this institution, and without his support, we would not have had this development. Second, I am particularly grateful for his support. He is the remaining member of the 5 members of the executive committee which asked me to come to this institution and serve as its president. The others being John A. Widsoe, Albert E. Bowen, Joseph Merrill, Stephen L. Richards. I hope that Brother Smith remains in his capacity as chairman of this board for a long time because he's of great strength and support to this institution. And now I'm happy to introduce him to you as the president of the Quorum of the Twelve.
It should be a pleasure, and it is, to stand before this faculty, the student body, and the friends of this institution, I should say university, who are here present here this morning. I realize that time is limited, and therefore ask for the guidance of the Spirit of the Lord to lead me and direct me in the few minutes that are allotted. I'm going to read a verse or two from the 20th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. And we know that all men must repent and believe in the name of Jesus Christ and worship the Father in his name and endure in faith on his name to the end, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And we know that justification through the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is just and true. And we know also that sanctification through the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is just and true. to all those who love and serve God with all their mights, minds, and strength. But there is a possibility that men may fall from grace and depart from the living God. Therefore, let the church take heed and pray always, lest they fall into temptation. Yea, and even let those who are sanctified take heed also. And we know that these things are true, and according to the revelations of John, neither adding to nor diminishing from the prophecy of his book, the Holy Scriptures, or the revelations of God, which shall come hereafter by the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost, the voice of God, or the ministering of angels. Here is a warning that was given to the church at the very time of its organization, calling upon the members to be faithful and true, because the world is full of temptation and men can be led away from the truth into ways of wickedness if they do not hearken constantly to the guidance of the Spirit of the Lord. When a person is baptized and comes into this church, he or she is then confirmed and receives the gift of the Holy Ghost. I call your attention to this fact according to the statement of the Lord Himself. The world does not have the gift of the Holy Ghost. They do have the guidance of the light of Christ, which is given to every man that comes into the world. But the gift of the Holy Ghost is confined to those who are baptized and confirmed members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This institution was established for the purpose of building faith. I think that was the primary principle. And you have heard it said, I think, many times, that President Brigham Young told Brother Carl G. Mazur that he was to teach nothing without the guidance of that Spirit. Not even the multiplication tables. Some of you students have finished your course, or nearly so, and in a few days you will leave this institution. Some will return to continue their labors. Others will go out into various fields, into a wicked world. I want to admonish you and all others who are here to remember the words that I have just read. We cannot boast in our own strength. There is always a danger due to the temptations of the world, the various vicissitudes that confront us, that we may stray away, that we may forget our teachings, cease to seek for the light and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And that would be a dreadful thing, to lose the guidance of the Spirit of God. I have been of the opinion for a long time that a great many members of this church, baptized, confirmed, had hands laid upon their heads for the gift of the Holy Ghost, have never received a manifestation from that Spirit. Why? Because they have not followed the teachings the Lord has given to us as I have declared them in part, as they were recorded at the very time that the church was organized. Every member of the church may have that guidance, but the Spirit of the Lord will not stay with those who turn either to the right or to the left from the keeping of the commandments of the Lord. We ought to realize the great blessing that is ours and which the world does not possess, and that is that we can make ourselves companions of one of the members of the Godhead. And through that companionship, our minds can be enlightened and we can receive an understanding of the truth. We may grow in knowledge, in wisdom, and in understanding by our obedience to every principle that has been revealed from the presence of God. In one of the revelations, the Lord said to the church that we should walk by every word that proceedeth forth from His mouth. We cannot turn to the right nor to the left from that duty and responsibility. You know as well as I do that there are members of the church who, because they have not followed the instructions that the Lord has given to us, have turned away. If they had faith, they have denied it. Many of them, because they have never followed the admonitions the Lord has given, have found themselves out of harmony with that Holy Spirit. His influence has been withdrawn, if it was ever received. And the spirit of darkness then comes in and takes his place. There are certain organizations who, in my opinion, have concentrated upon the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and have dedicated their lives to its destruction. They find their ways among the members of the Church, even into the student bodies of the schools that are conducted by the church. And when a person is not prepared by study and by faith and has lost the guidance of the Spirit of the Lord, if they ever had it, they become a prey to these people, and they go out of the church. Now the Lord said, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. How simple that is. All through the revelations that are in the Doctrine and Covenants, in the Book of Mormon, the other standard works of the church, we are taught to be true and faithful to every covenant, to every obligation. And in prayer and faith, we are to worship our Father in heaven in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we fail to heed these counsels and become careless and indifferent, the Spirit of the Lord will withdraw, and we may find ourselves left to ourselves, and then we become a prey to the influences that are evil, enticed by those whose whole desire is to destroy the kingdom of God. When Jesus stood with some of those who believed in him, he said unto them, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In the Doctrine and Covenants, section 46, given March 8, 1831, the Lord gave this counsel. But ye are commanded in all things to ask of God, who giveth liberally, and that which the Spirit testifies unto you, even so I would that ye should do in all holiness of heart, walking uprightly before me, considering the end of your salvation, doing all things with prayer and thanksgiving, that ye may not be seduced by evil spirits or doctrines of devils or the commandments of men. For some are of men and others of devils. Wherefore, beware lest ye are deceived. And that ye may not be deceived, seek ye earnestly the best gifts, always remembering for what they are given. For verily I say unto you, they are given for the benefit of those who love me and keep my commandments. And him that seeketh to do, so to do, that all may be benefited that seek or that ask of me, that ask and not for a sign that they may consume it upon their lusts. And again, verily I say unto you, I would that ye should always remember and always retain in your minds what those gifts are that are given unto the church. Now the Lord gives gifts unto his people. He can give unto us through our faith and our obedience the gift of knowledge, of understanding. He quickens our minds, gives us the power to discern between truth and error. What is greater than the gift to know and understand the difference between a truth and an untruth, between a correct doctrine and a false doctrine or theory? And these blessings the Lord has promised unto us through our faithfulness and our obedience. I make the appeal to all who are here present to seek to gain the knowledge that saves, which is found in the revelations and the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, all knowledge is important, no matter from whence it comes. But the knowledge that God lives and Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of the world, and to know what the plan of salvation is and how to walk in it, is worth more than anything else that we can get in this world. What is the aim of the church, the membership of the church? To seek perfection. Now, does anybody dispute the fact that perfection may be reached? I don't mean relatively. I'm going to read to you what I think is one of the most beautiful things that was ever revealed to man. And if the prophet Joseph Smith had never given the world anything else, he would have given to this world more than it had ever received by any other source than the revelation from our Father in heaven. And that which doth not edify is not of God and is darkness. We can all subscribe to that. That which is of God is light. And he that receiveth light and continueth in God receiveth more light, and that light groweth brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Isn't that one of the most profound things that was ever revealed? Does the world understand that? I wonder if we do. That which is of God is light. And he that receiveth light and continueth in God receiveth more light, and that light groweth brighter until the perfect day. Does not the gospel teach us that we are to become like our Father in heaven? Has he not revealed in the revelations given to the church that we may know all things through our obedience and our faith to the revelations he has bestowed upon us? Has he not promised to make all things known? Not in this life. Here we lay the foundation. I have said in talking to our people at stake conferences that when the Lord said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect," he meant every word of it. I think sometimes we get the idea that the Lord in his teachings confined his words to mortal conditions, to this world, to this life. I don't think so. I think the revelations of the Lord go far beyond the borders of mortality. And when the Lord said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect," he meant every word of it, and he knew that we could not be made perfect in this life. But here we are to lay the foundation upon which we will continue to build until that great day comes that I have just read about in your presence. Are we not to become sons and daughters of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ? And has not the Lord said that he would give unto us, if we're true and faithful to every covenant and obligation, the fullness of his kingdom? He surely has. And the destiny of the true Latter-day Saint is to become like God. And we have the eternities before us. Lord bless you, my good brethren and sisters, you students, one and all. Let us be true to every covenant and every obligation that we have made. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.